Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our own life. Now, the sense of that in the Greek is a little bit deeper than that. When Christ died, everybody died. You want to know how God sees this world? They're in a tomb, folks. That's the destiny of everybody. Everything pertaining to this creation is in a tomb. I understand there's a process of time that's working out. This is something hard to wrap your mind around, but that's how certain it is. Everybody died. If you're sitting here this morning, you're born into Adam's family. When Christ died, you died. The only question is, what next? Where do you go from here? Thank God that wasn't the end. Thank God that was a new beginning. Now, in verse 15, it says, he died for everyone. And you could put it this way, he died representing everyone. Okay? Now think about it this way. When Adam was created, and Eve, of course, was brought forth, the purpose was that there was a life in him that was capable of bringing forth a family. So in a sense, you and I were all there. It wasn't just, what happened to him didn't just happen to him, it happened to you and it happened to me. And that's why we partake of what happened back there in the garden. But something else is going on here. His representative. He is a representative. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life, his new life, will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Praise God. We can celebrate the resurrection and just say, yay God or yay Jesus, but all of that was for you and for me. It was for you this morning. Now, what the picture is that he's painting here is that everybody dies, whether you want to or not. You died on that cross because your representative died and the judgment that you deserved and I and this world deserved to get rid of the evil. It was poured out upon him. He took all of that into the grave. But he didn't stay there. Praise God. It's very interesting that the disciples were the ones that heard him say numerous times, I'm going to be crucified or I'm going to be put to death and I will be buried, but I will rise. Not one of them remembered that. I can see the wisdom of God in it because no one can say, well, they heard him say that, so they faked it. And the authorities were the ones that remembered, hey, I remember hearing him say that. We better do something. We better post a guard. We're going to put a huge stone there, and we're going to post a guard on it and put a seal where, boy, you don't touch this. This is official. And yet when they went to the grave on that first morning, the stone was rolled away. And we know what happened. The soldiers were just terrified. They saw the angel. They were just terrified at what was going on. It was an earthquake. It was just awesome. They ran. But I'm so thankful. The angels didn't come to roll away the stone to let Jesus out. They came to let the disciples in to see what God had done. Because the life and the power that brought him out of that tomb wasn't subject to anything here. He just passed right through it. He could come in through walls, appear out of thin air, disappear into thin air as the occasion demanded. And when it was time for him to go home, gravity couldn't hold him. He just, it's time for me to go? Okay. I mean, he just was totally set free with the power of God from everything about this creation. And what we see in Christ determines the future of everyone who has put their faith in him. That's your destiny today. If you're one of those that absolutely rose with him, then that is your destiny, because even though we're living out a life here, if we are born again, praise God, that's the key. You've got to be born again. Being born into Adam's family is not enough. You can't fix that. We're going to have to be born of the same life that Jesus came out of that tomb with. And just as Adam produced a family, so does he. Just as the corn of wheat, the grain of wheat went into the ground, gave up its outward life, there was a life in it that brought forth fruit. I believe some of that fruit is here today. I believe that family is still being begotten. I believe God is still reaching out to people that absolutely will come to the end and see what happened, what really happened that weekend. To see that you were there when he died because the life you had was corrupted. There's guilt, there's sin, there's, no matter how hard you try, there's no way you can be acceptable to God and yourself. Your situation was utterly hopeless. There was no solution but to put you to death. Have you ever really understood that and embraced it, the reality of it? Sounds terrible. It sounds gruesome. It's so contrary to everything about human nature. But it's the truth. But God didn't create that situation because he hated you, because he loved you and wanted to give you a whole new life. That's what this is talking about. And he uses the expression about being a new creation. That's what happened. One creation died on the cross, was left in the tomb. Another creation was born when he came out of that tomb. And everything that is going to bring forth that creation, the world, what you know, but right now he's working on bringing forth the family that will rule that creation. Are you part of that? You've been born again? I'm going to stick this in the middle here as a plug. I sent an email around that, for those of you who are on the email list, mentioning that our family had gone to the movies, which is something we don't do very often. There's not much out there. And we saw that movie, A Great Awakening. And truthfully, the way Hollywood has gone, I didn't expect much. But it was a history. I believe it was an attempt to accurately portray history. It wasn't some drama that got made up. But it was a history of events that happened before the American Revolution. And the focus of it was a powerful spiritual awakening where God invaded the colonies, particularly. And he used a man named George Whitefield, who was about as unlikely a candidate for that as you could imagine. And I won't spoil the story, but boy, the power that of his preaching. You imagine somebody preaching to 20, 30,000 people at a time with no microphone? God gave that man a powerful voice and a powerful message that transformed this nation. And there were untold numbers of people that came to faith and came to Christ. And the movie is about the unlikely relationship between Whitefield and Ben Franklin. Very interesting history. But it was just spine-tingling at times, the singing, the preaching. So anyway, I'll just throw that out there. I hope others will enjoy seeing it. But one of the things that he kept preaching over and over again to all kinds of people, not just the nice people, the business people, but the down and outs. He reached down to coal miners with dirty faces and slaves and you name it. He was reaching out to the lowest of the low with a message that God loves you. He wants you to experience liberty. You need to be born again. Christ paid for your sins. Put your faith in Him and surrender and repent, and He will give you a new life and a new heart. Over and over again, it was a simple message, but there was a power of God behind it. We need that in our day, don't we? We need that at all times in history. May God have mercy upon this generation and reach out to everyone that He's going to. I pray that God will help us to be a part of that. But anyway, something began. A new creation began. But not only that, it was a new creation in which people, individual people, were given an opportunity for a new beginning. Because our destiny, apart from what Christ did, our destiny was sealed and hopeless. I don't care how moral you were. That was one of the interesting things in that movie, was Ben Franklin was portrayed as this proud moralist. Boy, he had a long list of human virtues, and he made all kinds of efforts to live up, to practice them, and be a good person. And you watch the Lord begin to challenge him. There's no such thing as virtue that is in the least, acceptable to God. Oh God, set us free from all kinds of self-righteousness, you name it. We need to come as the sinners we are, rejoicing in the love and the grace of God. Oh, Father, I just pray that God will again touch this generation. So anyway, there's a new life, a new beginning. I'll turn to another scripture we have used over the years, and that's in Romans chapter 6, because he touches on some of these issues. What is that new beginning about? And Paul has been talking about sin coming about because of Adam, and grace coming to counter that and to bring forth a new race of people. And he says toward the end of that, of chapter 5, that where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. And so, of course, the questions, it comes up to somebody's mind. You can imagine who the author of the question is. That means then, if we're supposed to make God look good, right? And grace, showing grace makes Him look good. Therefore, if grace abounds because of sin, shouldn't we sin more? Let's go for it. Let's sin so that God will look good in showing grace. No, that's not the point. And so he asked the question in the beginning of 6, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. But then he comes to what this new beginning means. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined Him in His death?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.